Will you please be seated?
Just that one.
Forward, yeah. Jeanette will probably be able to confirm this. I've been a little bit apprehensive. I didn't think... There you are. I've been a little bit apprehensive about what to say this morning, but just as the service has gone on, I have been encouraged, because quite a number of things that we've done in the songs and so on, and verses, things that Paul said, have sort of resonated, I hope, in what I'm going to say. So I feel a bit more confident now. Before I speak, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story that we've heard today, a story but a true story. And we pray that through it, we might draw close to you, we might understand a little more about who you are and what you've come to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope I can get the first one back. Do I just press forward again? Yeah. Well, we're still in John's Gospel this morning. And Jesus is having a pretty busy time, isn't he? If you read through, I haven't got it. If you read through chapter 2, you'll see, part of chapter 1, the next day, and what happened, and the next day, and then on the third day. So Jesus is pretty busy, isn't he? Stuff happening every day. The next day, on the third day, they'd walked about 24 miles. You can see from Bethsaida to Cana in Galilee. Can you see the names? No. Bethsaida on the Jordan by the sea to Cana. That's about 24 miles walking. Bit less, of course, as the crow flies. And they were invited to a wedding, at which Jesus does, we know, his first miracle. He changes the water into wine. Not quite, a bit more impressive, I think, than a bit of Ribena in a bowl. But there we are. It might not be Ribena. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, let me tell you, getting carried away. There we are. There we are. I'm getting too carried away. Now, let me tell you, over recent years, when our family gathers together at Christmas, one of my cousins, Eric, is always there with his wife, Yoko. She's his glamorous assistant. The bishop called me that at the confirmation, his glamorous assistant. Obviously needed new glasses. And on each occasion, my cousin, Eric, has been doing some magic tricks. Impressive. Of course, there he is with my grandson trying to do a bit. And of course, they're not magic at all. They're just an illusion. But they're very, very clever, very impressive. How on earth can you get my grandson Gil there to tear a playing card into 8 bits, muddle them all up, and then, after a bit of jiggery-pokery and abracadabra, produce out of the middle of a grapefruit the corner that exactly matches? Incredible. It's amazing, but it's an illusion. I know how it's done. But most of his tricks Eric won't tell you. However, this event we've heard about this morning is no illusion. It's no trick. It really did happen. And I hope you don't find it hard to believe. Because, well, I'm going to tell you why. For a start, the designer of chemistry, who fixed the way everything works, who designed the fact that fermentation could take place from the grape we didn't have into wine to drink, if he decides to speed it all up a bit, well, I think that's up to him. It might take us 12 months or 20 years to brew a bottle of wine, but if God chooses to do it instantly, he can do it. 750 bottles about, that was, of the best wine. God is able to do it. That's Ephesians 3:20, that song, Immeasurable, Bubbly, 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 is about, isn't it? He is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. I'm trying to think where I'm up to with these pictures. Let's see what's next. Oh, yeah, not yet. I've given you a clue there. Well, now then, let me tell you, or let me ask for some volunteers, young, old, or in between, because the question I'm going to ask you now, I'm going to ask you this question in a minute. Who is he? Talking about Jesus, but to find out who somebody is, you have to see what they do, don't you? You have to get to know them. Who are they? What do they do? So first, who am I? Come on, I want some volunteers. I've got some clues here as to who I am. Spencer's up. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Quickly, come on, or we'll be here all morning. Yeah, there you are. You see, that got a difference. Right. Just pick something. I've got six items here to tell you who I am. Right. Jacqueline, no, one at a time. Jacqueline's picked. Does that tell anybody anything about who I am? Yes. Well, shout it out. Somebody with bad taste. A show off. Yeah. Catherine knows that's my official uniform at the hospital as a chaplaincy volunteer, a yellow tie. Next. What does that say about me? I can put this on, look. What does this say about me? I forget my own name. Do you know what that is? Examination invigilator. So I can wag my fingers at some of these kids. Next. What's that?
It's a ball.
It's a ball. Belonged to my grandfather. Anybody know what it is? A bowling ball. I do a bit. Oh, I don't think there's enough room for the bias down there, so I'll leave that. Next. You're finding out a bit about me.
This.
Yeah, now this. What's this? Oh, sorry. What's this? That's my reader scarf. If I didn't have this, I wouldn't be able to stand up here and waffle away this morning. And I've even got a badge on it that says I've been able to do it for 25 years. But it's out of date because I've been doing it for 30 years now. Come on. Catherine, you haven't picked one, have you? What do you know? What's that?
License.
That's my driver's license. What does that mean?
You drive.
It means keep off the road when I'm about. And then lastly, the other Catherine. Now, what's that? You won't be able to see that. It's got a badge on it. And, pardon? It's a coat. Well, it is, well, sort of. I've done an enlarged copy here. That is a, can you see it just there? It's a badge. And I did that because you might recognize where it's from. That's a Liverbird, Liverpool University badge. And interestingly, the motto of Liverpool University, if anybody can interpret, fiat lux. Pardon, Roger? Let there be light. Must be a Christian university, mustn't it? There we are. That's the cover for the table. Okay, thanks very much. Now you see, who am I? I don't know if you know much more about me, because that's not told you who I am. That's told you about me, hasn't it? But gives you a bit of a clue. So now we're going to come and think a bit about who is Jesus. Now, many of you here this morning were at Lisa and Diane's confirmation a couple of weeks ago. There you are. Are they up there? She might want to stand up and take a bow. There you are. And of course, that was a fantastic occasion. It was Bishop Michael who said, what a great celebration it was. Oh, and indeed, only at the beginning really. And that was a fantastic occasion. And if you weren't able to be there, well, it was wonderful to hear their public confession of their faith. And of course, in Jesus' day, weddings were a big deal. In a way, even a bigger deal than today, because there wasn't as much else to do, was there? You know, you didn't have the telly and the iPad. So when there was a wedding, everybody was invited. And everybody came along. The whole community was invited. Can't you just, now that is a picture of a do-it-yourself wedding. They're sort of not very exciting chairs, but can't you imagine something like that when the whole community comes? You need lots of stuff, lots of tables and everything else. And it didn't just last for an afternoon and an evening. A wedding in those days lasted a whole week, and that's why they needed lots of wine. Not particularly to get drunk, but just lots for the social drinking. And for this young couple to run out of wine in the middle of the celebration would have been an absolute disaster. It's the sort of thing you could imagine 25 years later at their silver wedding. I don't know if they lived long enough then for a golden wedding, but 25 years later at the silver wedding, people would be saying, "Has the wine run out? Don't you remember that wedding when all the wine was gone? What a disaster it was." So, of course, you know, it was a big deal. Jesus' mum is there, isn't she, as we saw? And she's on the ball, of course. She notices what's going on and she tells Jesus about the problem. But what does he say? It seems a bit of an odd reply, doesn't it? He says, "My time has not come yet," or words to that effect. What did he mean? What did he mean? What's going on here? Well, he didn't mean, did he, that he wouldn't help? Because if that was the case, the miracle would never have been done. And the party would have crashed, wouldn't it? Everybody would have gone home saying, what a washout that was. So what Jesus was saying was that what he was about to do, this, his first miracle, and all that he did later, the healings, the teaching, the different signs, they were all just part of a warm-up, if you like. They weren't really what he'd come for because his time wasn't yet. They were part of the warm-up act. They weren't the main event. That was yet to come. But in the meantime, Jesus was showing to people who he really was. He was giving them clues, hints to who he was. He's showing that he's got power and authority, because what he says happens. He shows love and compassion and mercy and grace to everybody he meets as he aims to meet their needs and point them in the right way. Here he's changed water into wine. Then he feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He heals the sick. He brings the dead back to life. Incredible. He can even walk on water. But that's pointing to, trying to tell them who he is, what they can learn about him, like he did about me with these things. He gives them and us hope for the future, because one day he is going to make all things new. And this is just the start with this first miracle of things yet to come. The host, or whatever he's called at the wedding, said, "This is the best wine." And Jesus is hinting, isn't he, that at the end, the best will be there to come. Pointing that those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus, their future is secure. To the 5 men who followed him from the Jordan, those first disciples, here was a hint. The old covenant, represented by water, is going to be replaced by a new covenant in the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, represented by the wine. The old is going out and the new is coming in. In saying, "My time is not yet," Jesus was showing that God's time is different to our time. God's timing, what was that one? Oh, oh. Oh yeah, I said about we have hope for the future. And then, of course, God's timing is not our timing. In the Bible, we hear that to God, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day. I'd say work that one out if you can. I've thought about that long and hard. So God's timing, not our timing. Jesus said it wasn't his time then. And in this miracle, he shows there is real reason to believe in him. Let me read you. I think it might come up there. Yeah, John, the end of John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 31. This is done. These are done, these miracles, that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And then I think it says at the very end again, just shows how much Jesus did at the end of John's Gospel. I suppose that if everything Jesus did was written down, that even the whole world wouldn't have room for the books that would be written. Wow, can you imagine? The whole world can't contain books to say what Jesus has done. I can't read that. Oh, yeah. And so, I don't know if that is that. Oh, no. I'm getting. So, by this miracle, we see who Jesus was through what he did. And as our passage puts it, he revealed his glory so that his disciples would put their faith in him. Is that what that says? Yeah, oh, he revealed his glory, yes. So I do hope that you believe that God can do miracles like changing this water into wine. I really do hope that you believe that, and I'll tell you why. Because if Jesus couldn't do that, how could you believe that he came back to life once he'd been dead? And how could you believe that he has the power to save you and to save me and to give us a hope for the future? So remember to say to yourself, confirm it to yourself, I believe in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to increase our desire to believe, to have faith in Jesus for today and for the future. Help us to put our trust in him and to follow him for the rest of our lives. Amen.